And welcome back to Four States Live. It is Monday, November the 2nd, rolling up on 7:26 your time. With us this morning, Travis Hurley with Water Gardens Ministries here in the Joplin area.
Good morning.
Okay, you stopped yawning on me. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Because I keep telling you, none of that.
That's right.
None of that on this show. Like, we all had the time change, so none of that. You're not allowed.
That's fair.
And, you know, I've offered you coffee, but you insisted on water.
I know.
Sorry.
I just want to make sure that, you know, the voice is clear and ready. And let's talk.
Let's do that. Let's talk about Water Gardens. Mm-hmm. You guys have been around for a little over 20 years
20
now.
Years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we celebrated 20 years on June 1st.
So talk about the ministry. Talk about the services that you offer to the area.
Well, I'll tell you, when the ministry started back in 2000, Dr. James and Marcia Whitford, the co-founders, and he continues to serve as our executive director. They would tell you they just had a heart for those struggling with poverty. They said, we've got to do something. Mm-hmm. What he would say, though, is over the course of those first few years, while they had a heart for the poor, they didn't have a mind for it, and they grew frustrated. So they found themselves constantly trying to meet the daily needs of people, just the basic needs, food, shelter, clothing, household goods. What can we do to help somebody? But they saw the same people over and over and wondered, are we really helping people out of their situation, or are we just kind of kicking the can down the street for another month or two? And so they began to develop a different approach that is more about eliminating a handout style of ministry and incorporating exchange. So really what we strive to do at Watered Gardens is help someone who's struggling with poverty, but not just ask the question, what do you need, what do you need, what do you need? We also ask, what do you have to offer? And how can we reawaken a sense of value and purpose and that inherent dignity that you have? How can we reawaken that in you so that you can see there's a way for you to help yourself out of your situation? And we want to walk alongside you as you do it.
So that's where, Forge, the Worth Shop,
yes,
and all that kind of came from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when the ministry started, it was day outreach. And then we added men's overnight shelter at our outreach center at 531 Kentucky. And for many years, 531 Kentucky was the only campus. And then in 2015, we had a church donate a property to us and over on 15th Street. We call that now, it's our Forge Center for Virtue and Work. It's our long-term residency program for men. So they come into the program, and over the course of five phases, 13 to 15 months of time, they are learning job skills training. They're learning physical wellness, and they're learning how to budget, and they go through coursework on character development, biblical guidelines for that. And the goal is, by the time you graduate, you're off of all government assistance, you have your own place to live, you have a full-time job, and you're a contributing member of the community. We're excited. We got our most recent graduate, Jamie Vera. We're going to feature him in an upcoming program for our fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And he's just been reunited with his wife and his kids. Got a full-time job. He's doing really well. And this is a man who a year and a half ago, he would have not believed you if you'd have told him where he'd be today. And it's because of just the power of God at work in his life and the willingness of the folks, not just staff at Water Gardens, but all the volunteers that pour into these men and women to help them see a transformed life.
How important is it for you, you and I were talking before the show started, that you don't necessarily look at your graduation numbers, because there are people that will falter.
Sure.
They will stumble along the way, mm-hmm, and maybe rejoin
you guys
after a time. But it's number one, you always hear, saying I need help is like the first step.
That's right. Well, a lot of people say we like Water Gardens because you guys don't do a handout, you do a hand up. I really don't even care for that analogy. Hand up suggests that I'm above you in some way.
Right.
Or you say, okay, about a hand across, but I'm not trying to bring you to where I am. I prefer we get rid of the handle altogether and just say, we don't know where God wants to take you, but we'll put our arm around you and we'll walk with you there. And we're excited when we see somebody who maybe they've fallen many times in the past, but they get back up, they come back and they say, okay, let's try this again. And we've seen progress with folks, even they may not all the way graduate our Forge program, but if you get through a phase or two of it, there's enough investment that happens there that a lot of those guys, maybe they faltered and weren't able to graduate the program. program, but they're still a full-time job and doing much better than they did before, and they're out of their addictions. And you know, these are guys that have had some rough backgrounds, mm-hmm. some real challenging situations. So we measure success in a number of ways.
And you know, you talked about the fact that you guys have grown campus-wise. Mm-hmm. One of those campuses is for women and their children.
That's
and
right.
That's a fairly new one.
It is. In fact, we opened that on June 1st. So it's like our 20th anniversary and our fourth campus open. And this was at the old Washington Elementary School building on 2nd Street. And it was a $1.2 million renovation. The community giving is what allowed us to open that debt-free. And it's really a beautiful campus. It's got 6 family units. So each unit can have a mom and up to 4 kids in it. And by the end of June, it was full.
Wow.
So we've got 6 moms staying there, a total of 17 kids right now. And, you know, it's got a brand new dining area with an indoor playground. You've got childcare on site. Each mom with her kids has their own individual living unit. There's a learning center. And we just had this weekend the outdoor playground get installed. So the campus as a whole on the outside is getting worked on still.
So what's it like for you to go to a campus like that, especially, and hear the cries of joy?
Yeah, it is the most rewarding thing that I do. You know, my main job with Watered Gardens is to share our story through our marketing, advertising, going to various churches, talking on the radio like this with you. Yeah. And when I get a chance to meet somebody who's been impacted by our work, it just reminds me this is why we do it. You know, again, we've got an event coming up this Saturday, and mm-hmm. we'll talk about that in a little bit, I know. And there's going to be an opportunity there to hear some interviews with folks who have seen their lives changed. And one of those folks is Teddy. She's there with her kids, was homeless for a year, and now is at our Washington Family Hope Center and is dreaming again of a better life.
And I like the fact that you're giving the families a chance to dream for that future, because a lot of times people find themselves in a situation to where they feel there's no hope, and you guys are offering that.
That's right. I think people at times when they walk in our doors, they're at the end of their rope. They've burned every bridge in relationship, and in some ways they're out on the street corner and people are tossing them money and thinking that's all we can do. We want folks to realize that usually doesn't help. You're better off supporting a ministry that's going to invest in them and send them to that ministry. As we tell folks, send them to Watered Gardens. We want to come alongside them, and we want them to know, hey, you have value. You have dignity. You have a purpose. God has you here for a reason, and we want to help you discover that, and we want to see you get out of your current situation and have your poverty not just alleviated but resolved in your life.
Well, you, the public here, those who are listening, they have an opportunity to help you. You kind of briefly mentioned that you've got the Evening of Hope that's coming up this Saturday. We're going to be talking about more on that here on Four States Live in just a few moments and how you can help. Stay with us.
Have a question or comment? Just email fourstates@kkowradio.com. More Four States Live is coming up next.
And welcome back to Four States Live. It is Monday, November the 2nd, rolling up on 7:41 your time. Travis Hurley is back with us with Watered Garden Ministries here in the Joplin area. This Saturday, we have got the Evening of Hope at Home.
That's right. It's been Evening of Hope Banquet for 6 years, and this is our 7th year doing it, but there's not a banquet this year.
Right.
It's Evening of Hope at Home, so we want folks to stay at your house. And you can watch our program on television.
So what can people expect from this program?
Well, I was telling you a little bit earlier that there are a lot of times folks will say, Watered Gardens, you guys have a homeless shelter, right? And then I say, well, there's a lot more that we do. And if mm-hmm. I could just get you to come down and I could give you a tour, I'd take you to all 4 campuses and show you. A lot of people don't have time for that. But those who have always finished the tour by saying, I had no idea. I had no idea all that you guys do at Watered Gardens Ministry. So this Saturday night, we said, why don't we give people a virtual tour? So you're going to get a chance to meet campus directors. You're going to get to see the various campuses. Ramsey Media Works was so gracious in helping us create these little video tours of each campus. And then along with that, the campus director will take an opportunity to interview somebody who has been impacted by the ministry. I referenced Teddy in the last segment. Mm-hmm. You'll also get to hear from a man named Reginald. And we also have an opportunity to visit with someone named Justin, who has taken advantage of our worth shop, an opportunity to earn what you need by working there in the worth shop. And he just expresses how that has helped him and how much he appreciates that versus the handout model. So you'll get a chance to meet those folks. We're also going to have interviews with various community partners who have just said, hey, we believe in what Watered Gardens is doing, and we are grateful for the opportunities that we've had to come alongside and partner with them. And our hope is that people see that and go, hey, maybe there's more I can do in partnership to help those struggling with poverty and homelessness in our community. It may be an in-kind gift of some kind. It may be donating your services. It could be financial, and it could be volunteering your time and energy in various areas that are a particular passion of yours.
How important is it, do you think, for the public to see those success stories, to hear those success stories? Because, you know, we see the people out on the street corners with their cardboard signs, and that's what you guys are wanting to steer clear of.
That's right.
And I understand that. But when you hear the success stories, that's got to be the drive behind keeping you guys going year to year.
Most definitely. Yes. We want to see folks' lives changed. And I think when you can see that in somebody, it gives you hope. And really, that's what Evening of Hope is about, is we want to remind folks that those struggling have hope, and it's found in Christ. We believe that the power of the gospel is what brings real change. And so not only does it bring hope for them, but it should bring hope to the community to realize, you know, Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. There's a tendency to hear that from him and go, oh, well, they're always going to be here. Well, the poor may always be here, but that person who's in poverty doesn't always have to be in their situation. So it's, you remember that illustration of the guy walking along the beach and he's throwing the starfish back in, and you see so many, and it's like, well, are you making a difference? Well, I made a difference to that one that I just threw back in the water, right?
Right.
It's that same idea that you'll always have poverty, but each person doesn't have to stay in their situation. We can alleviate it one person at a time. We want to resolve it one person at a time.
With four different campuses, I mean, obviously you're seeing the need for your services grow. And you and I have been kind of talking off and on. We don't know what 2020 is going to bring for you. Like you said, so far it's been fairly steady.
Yes.
But we don't know what the impact this horrible year.
Yeah, it's been a rough year.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for everyone. Well, we don't know what the impact is going to have on these folks down the road.
We don't. A lot of folks are saying you're going to see the fallout from 2020 in 2021. Well, the good news for us is we serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So at Watered Gardens, we're like, we don't know what 2021 is going to bring, but the one we serve does. And so we're not worried. We just want to make sure people are aware here's the need and here's a way that you can help, because we have a job to do until Christ returns. So that's our approach at Watered Gardens.
Well, you were talking about the auction, and that's live and ready to go.
It is, yeah. We really want to encourage folks. A couple things. We want you to watch our program this weekend. It's going to be on at 5 o'clock on Channel 16. It's going to be on at 6:30 on Channel 7. And at 7 o'clock on Fox 14. It's really awesome. We had Kate Kelly and Howie Nunley from the various stations who worked together and just said this is a community effort, a collaborative effort. So that show will be on then. You can also watch it online on YouTube. It'll go live, I think, around 6:30 Saturday night.
Okay.
And so watch the show, share the link with others, get the word out. But there's also an auction, a silent auction going on, and that's actually live right now. So if folks go to wateredgardens.org. That's watered, past tense, gardens, plural, .org. Right there on the homepage, you can learn more about Evening of Hope Saturday night, but you can also go straight to the auction and make a bid now.
And the cool thing is, I've kind of glanced through some of the items. If you're ready to start, I know people are ready to decorate for Christmas right now, and you've got a lot of Christmas decoration items.
Yes, these are some beautiful items that we've got an incredible volunteer team that have put these together. So you've got trees and table decorations and all this holiday decor, and folks can make a bid and know that the proceeds are helping Watered Gardens Ministries, and you're going to have something that's going to look beautiful in your home.
How else, I mean, obviously by watching the program, they'll, I'm sure, be inspired. Mm-hmm. If they're not interested in decorating, maybe they might be like me and have an attic full of Christmas right. stuff, but how can they make a monetary donation or get involved with
yes,
you guys?
Thank you. Right there on our homepage, there are a couple other links. There's a way to give, and we want to encourage folks to make a gift. You can even put in the memo line, Evening of Hope, so that we know it was as a result of that. And there's a link to volunteer. You just put your information in there, and one of our volunteer services coordinators, either Darlinda or Dana, will reach out to you. And you don't even have to know necessarily what amount of time you can give or what area you want to serve in. They'll help you figure that out. They kind of look at what's your availability, what's your interest, and where can we match that up with the needs that we have. We have over 700 volunteer shifts that have to be wow. filled every month. And I'll tell you, we haven't really felt the impact anywhere except there. Mm-hmm. Folks have been much more
I
reticent.
Understand.
Yeah, and I get that too. It's, you know, you don't want to put other family members at risk, but at the same time, we do want to be a people that are not don't have a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and self-control and courage and discipline. And so we think you can be cautious, you can be wise in your approach, and still be active in serving. And we need folks willing to do that.
And welcome back to Four States Live. Once again, back with us this morning, Travis Hurley with Watered Gardens. We've been talking about Evening of Hope, which is coming up this Saturday. And of course, the website's the place to go.
That's right.
If you can't tune into TV, you guys are going to have it up there on your Facebook page,
yes.
everywhere.
Go to wateredgardens.org, and right there on the home screen, you'll see Evening of Hope at Home. Mm-hmm. Click on all the information there. You'll find the auction. You'll find the information how to register if you want to host a table, which is a little strange. People are like, host a table. How do you do that when it's staying at home? Well, you're giving the gift that you
yes.
would normally give, because that's what this is about, is funding the ministry. But then, you know, if you want to invite your friends over Saturday night to watch the show, go ahead. Club 609 has even said, you know, if you want to have a meal purchased from us, you can still do that. But this is still the main thing, is to support what we have going on. You can do that through table hosting or just giving a gift of any kind online, and then tune in, share that link with others, and then make sure you bid on one of those items in the auction.
And you know, another way people can give that's become very popular over the last 7-8 years, is this year number 8?
This is the 8th year, yes.
For the Empty Bowls of fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-sales are over.
Pre-sales finished Friday.
And you've sold how many?
We've sold nearly 800 bowls.
Wow.
Yeah, which is phenomenal. We're really grateful for Joplin Greenhouse and the coffee shop. They said we could set up there. We were right outside their doors from September 14th till this last Friday, and it was great. I mean, last year I think our pre-sales were about 300. So nearly tripled that, which is exciting. And then people, so will there be any bowls on November 19th? We have some left. There is a few more coming in. But the main thing to know about November 19th is all the soup will be to go.
Right.
So if you bought your bowl in advance, we have your name on the list. You can still come in, get your soup, and you don't even have to bring your bowl with you. And if you didn't get a bowl, we still have some left. You can come that day and pick one out, get your soup. And we're really grateful for all the area restaurants. I think that it's up to 19
18,
or 20.
Yeah. I think one of the last things I saw was 18, but if
yes.
you guys have added some more,
yep.
then...
It's
hallelujah.
Awesome. Yeah, there's so many different restaurants, which gives us a chance to feature some great local places mm-hmm. that people need to know about, that have great food, and support them locally. It's the same with the bowls. I mean, we've got 7 different potters and pottery shops, from Lamar down to Neosho. North Star Pottery, The Clay Cup, Skinner, Tootsie Bowl, Made of Clay. Crowder College makes some. Firehouse Pottery here in Joplin. They've all been making these bowls all year. They're microwave safe. They're dishwasher safe. They're beautiful. You get to keepsake. You get a bowl of soup. And the ministries that have a food component to them that are privately sourced and get benefit from your gift.
And people, I got to tell you, that first year, I know it was kind of small that first year. I remember when you guys came on the TV morning show talking about it. I'm like, this is a unique fundraiser. Mm-hmm. People are fanatics about their bulls.
They are. It was Heather Grills, Phoenix Fire Dark,
yes.
was who did that for several years before she moved out of the area. We were grateful as a ministry to pick that baton up last year. And it's not just Watered Gardens that benefits.
Right.
Hope Kitchen down in Neosho, Mission Joplin, and We Care the Four States. These are all local ministries that are 100% privately funded, privately sourced, and they have a food component to what they do, and they're the ones benefiting from it. And yeah, people are like, I need to get my bowl. In fact, last week we got the word out that Friday was the last day, and I think we sold over 130 bowls.
Wow.
Just on Friday from people saying, I got to make sure I get my pick of what I want. And they know the different potters. They're looking on the bottom of the bowl. You know, I want one from North Star. I want one from Made of Clay. You know, Tootsie Bowl. And you go, well, whatever we have left.
It.
Yeah. See what you can find.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting.
But it becomes a collection because they're stamped and everything on the bottom.
Yep.
So
it is year and everything.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's commemorative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can understand.
Yeah.
And they're wanting like that certain color, mm-hmm. or they're and they're all, I mean, literally the word unique means one of a kind.
That's
and
right.
Since they're all hand done, mm-hmm. they are all unique. They are one of a kind.
They are. And folks are even thinking beyond themselves. They're thinking, you know, Christmas is coming up. I had someone on Friday, I think they bought 10 bowls. And they were like, well, you know, one of these is for me. But then I'm thinking about my aunt, my sister, you know, and they're mm-hmm. just trying to think of, okay, so what, I know their favorite colors. So I'm trying to find that. And they're all mixing and matching. And we also have those little warmers.
Yes.
That area church groups have made. And so you can match those up as well. And it just makes for a unique event, and it's a great way for the community to come together. You know, you're getting a meal, you're getting a bowl, you're serving and helping provide for ministries to those struggling, and it's a win-win-win.
So November 19th is the date. Where's it going to be located?
Yep, down at the Empire Market over there on just off 4th Street. So it'll be we'll start at 11 a.m., go to 7 p.m., so you can come during your lunch hour. You can come during the midday when it's a little slower if you want,
and then get a snack.
Yep, of course in the evening from 4 to 7 it picks back up, and we should have, I think we'll have a couple hundred bowls. You know, last year on the day of the event we had about 800 of them, and we sold almost all those.
Wow.
Out obviously with the pre-sales going so well, we don't have as many, but there will be some available, and still a good variety too.
Mm-hmm.
So I want folks to come for sure.
Absolutely. And you get your soup to go, so it's not going to be hanging out this year.
That's right. We're just trying to be conscious of the year that we're in and make those adjustments.
And I think what I saw, you're allowing about 100 people in at a time.
Yes, we're trying to monitor, you know, Empire Market has a max capacity. We want to do a quarter of that.
Sure.
So you can still do some
sure.
social distancing and all those things.
Well, and then really quickly again, mm-hmm. Evening of Hope at Home is coming up this Saturday. How can people tune in?
You can tune in on Channel 16 at 5 o'clock, Channel 7 at 6:30. Or Fox 14 at 7 o'clock that night. You can also find it online on YouTube around 6:30. And if you make a gift in advance of 300 or more, there will be a private Zoom link sent to you so that you can hear from Dr. James and Marcia Whitford. They're going to do an interview after the show airs with folks just to kind of give them an update on the future. I mentioned
sure.
a while ago, Washington Family, we filled that first floor up within a month. So we need to be thinking about the upstairs at Washington Elementary and turning that portion of the Washington Family Hope Center into more family units. So there are some things coming down the road that we need to fund.
And I'm sure you guys are going to be back on the air to talk about that, because you guys are doing great work. Again, 20 years
yes.
with Watered Gardens
to
here.
To God be the glory.
Yeah. So you guys are chugging along. And if people want more information, if they want to donate, the website's a great place to go.
Yes, wateredgardens.org. That's watered, past tense, gardens with an S, plural, and .org.
And, of course, I've actually tagged you in on my Facebook fan
Thank
page.
You.
So just hook me up on Facebook, Shannon Bruff at AMI Radio Group, and you will find the link there. Well, Travis, thank you so much. It's, as always, a pleasure to have you guys on.
Thanks
if
for
you
having
have,
me today, Shannon.
Yes, no, thank you. And if you've got events coming up, you know how to get in touch with
sure
me.
Do. All
and
right.
if you want to be on the show, don't forget to hit me up with an email as well. You can do so by emailing me at fourstates@kkowradio.com. Well, we've got more coming up here on Four States Live. We're going to be talking with the director of entrepreneurship. I think I said that kind of correctly. It's Monday, right? And you stopped yawning. So thank you so much.
Yep.
High five. We've got more coming up here on Four States Live in just a few moments.
860 AM KKOW Pittsburgh and 97.5 K248 DR Joplin, part of the AMI Radio Group, serving millions in the four-state region and online at kkowam.com.
News on the Hour, presented by Capital One Bank.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. It's down to the wire for President Trump and Joe Biden. A day before the election, Mr. Trump is making a prediction.
When you see what's going to happen with the great red wave.
Correspondent Ben Tracy says Mr. Trump makes five campaign stops in four key battleground states today.
President Trump will spend the entire day on the road holding those five rallies, his final one late tonight in Michigan. That's also where he held his final rally back in 2016. And with the president still trailing in the polls, he continues to sow doubts about the outcome of the election.
Joe Biden urging undecideds in Philadelphia to cast a vote for him.
Put an end to a presidency that has fanned the flames of hate all across this nation.
Biden and his surrogates barnstorm Pennsylvania today. He will also make a campaign stop in Cleveland. Early voter turnout has been historic. Election law expert and CBS News contributor David Becker believes it'll be one of the most secure elections ever.
One of the key reasons is that 100 million ballots that are already in the scanners, ready to be counted on election night. If we had had any problems, if we had seen any interference with election infrastructure, it's highly likely we would have detected it already.
Voters clashed across the country over the weekend. In New York, caravans of Trump supporters blocked major roads, backing up traffic on a bridge over the Hudson River. Stores are taking precautions. Correspondent David Begno.
Nordstrom, the major retail chain, said they're boarding up all 350 of their locations around the country in advance of election.
COVID cases are still rising in 44 out of 50 states. Overseas, Britain's prime minister briefs parliament next hour on plans for a new COVID lockdown there.
More trick than treat. Boris Johnson revealing the night of Halloween that COVID cases here are now doubling faster than even the worst case scenarios.
And so now is the time to take action because there is no alternative.
The four-week lockdown beginning on Thursday applies only to England, but other British regions are also tightening their COVID restrictions. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
The chain that brought us the Hunka Chunka Peanut Butter Love Sundae is still struggling.
You know what's so great about Friendly's?
CBS's Jim Krasula.
Massachusetts-based Friendly Restaurants, known for its ice cream sundaes, has filed for bankruptcy. Nearly all of Friendly's corporate-owned and franchised locations will remain open, subject to coronavirus pandemic restrictions. The restaurant operator and nationwide distributor of ice cream products also filed for bankruptcy in 2011.
Dow futures are up 378. S&P futures ahead 36. This is CBS News.
Capital One is right in the palm of your hand, so you can check your balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money from your phone with a top-rated app. Get started online anytime. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
So the weather is just all over the place lately, right? One day it's hot, and the next day it's windy. For a while, it's like, make up your mind already. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes, and you can try out new styles right at home. And there's no subscription required, ever. So, isn't it time you started nailing your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
This is the 100th anniversary of an Election Day massacre of black voters in Florida.
It happened in Ocoee, west of Orlando, November 2nd, 1920. It started with a white mob lynching July Perry, a black man, because he tried to vote. There are no exact numbers, but whites are believed to have killed dozens of other African-American men that day, driving many more out of town.
It's definitely a historic lesson.
July Perry's great-niece, Sharon McWhite, worries about voter suppression in 2020.
A lot has not changed. It's almost as if it is a movie with different characters.
A new law requires Florida schools to teach students about the massacre. Organizers want it recognized with an official day statewide.
That's Peter King from Orlando. NASA says an asteroid the size of a refrigerator is hurtling towards our planet and may buzz cut Earth today, but says there's only a 0.41% chance it'll enter our atmosphere. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. changing the world one life at a time.
We hadn't even heard of your product. Our son called us and said, you two need to be using this. And, oh, I love it. It really seems to be helping. My energy levels are not always great, but for the last couple of months, it seems to be improving. But it was really strange because our son doesn't recommend a lot of products to us. He's not like that with us. He says, you're my parents. I'm not yours. I'm not telling you what to do. But with this one, he said, no, I think you really need to do this. And our son was right. We need to be doing this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code.
But it's also an entrepreneurial ecosystem, if you will, that we're developing, that new companies and startups can have a place where they can collaborate with other startups and new businesses and have a vast resources of all the, you know, that everything that the chamber has to offer. And we've got some exciting news and changes coming for 2021. And we're happy to be doing our part to help new businesses get up and running.
Before we get into some of that upcoming for 2021, I remember before the Innovation Center really had a name. It was called like the Incubation Center type thing.
Because right.
It's where you put those little eggs to hatch and grow.
Absolutely. And it's really needed. I think some of the younger folks that may be starting their businesses, you know, don't take it for granted that these resources are available. Because when I started my business in 1997, there was really nothing like that. You just signed a lease and jumped out there and started doing it. Mm-hmm. And what's beautiful about the incubation centers across the country, and in particular, the Joseph Newman Innovation Center that we're really blessed to have in Joplin, is that it allows new businesses and innovative businesses to start up and to be able to get a hold of their budget quickly, because their monthly lease for their office space is a flat rate. It's below market rates, and it includes so many things like the chamber membership, and no overhead, meaning you get Wi-Fi included as well as all the other amenities. So no utilities, that type of thing. Access to a beautiful facility, two conference rooms to rent out, and it gives you a physical location, mm-hmm. a place to hang your shingle, if you will.
And I think that's been important for a lot of the businesses that have started up there, is having that nice facility too. Because if you end up looking at your budget and saying, I can only afford X amount of dollars, and you might end up in a shack somewhere, and you know, appearances are everything too.
Absolutely. It is. And that's from the perspective of the business. But what's also interesting about it is, you know, in looking at it from a completely different perspective, it's a powerful economic development tool for our greater area. And there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, like 90% of all chamber members in Joplin, and it's true across the country at all chambers, is that 90% of the memberships have 10 employees or less. Mm-hmm. So if you think about that, small business is basically the main gear and the engine of our great country. So, and also in the last 3 years, all the data shows that 80% of the new jobs have come from small businesses and startups. I mean, that's powerful. So economic development's basically got a two-sided coin. Yeah, go for the big whales that can come in. We've got
the box stores.
Yeah. Well, in manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And the chamber works very hard and diligently, you know, with the MOCAN economic development team.
Yes.
And we've got some exciting news we're about ready to announce too. And that's on
but
that
front.
It's
a front. Secret.
I know it has to be, you know, developers like it to be quiet. But on the flip side of that coin is somebody that has an idea or a dream, or they want to start a business. Odds are that they're going to be successful and hire people. So that's powerful. And so when you take those scary things out of the front end of it, you know, it makes it a lot more palatable for somebody to take that risk. And that risk isn't so overwhelming that it polarizes somebody into not taking mm-hmm. any action.
How do you choose? Because you obviously you have limited space, but how do you choose this is going to be a good fit for the Innovation Center or for the Crowder, you know, the Tech Center. How do you choose who's going to be a good fit for that?
That's an excellent question. And it's actually a two-part answer to that. One is, yes, we have limited space. However, part of the good news that we're announcing soon, and we'll have a media event, is that two of the main office spaces we are now converting into actual co-working spaces.
Okay.
So two of the suites that previously held somebody that graduated out of the program, rather than just lease those to another new startup, we are remodeling and reconfiguring those so that it can accommodate 10 or 15 people that just want to come in and have a place to land and get connected and work on their business. So that's an exciting part of it. And then the other criteria is, you know, we've got to make sure that they've done their own due diligence. It's one thing to say, hey, I want to start a business. But if you say that and you pull out a folder and you've done your research, you've done your market research, you clearly articulate what would be an executive summary of a business plan, exactly what it is you want to do, and you've got some quantitative data to back that up, then that means you're probably a pretty good fit for the Innovation Center.
So you can't just like brain fart an idea in the middle of the night and come knocking on your door.
They can come knock on the door. Everybody's welcome at the sure. Joplin Area Chamber anytime. But part of my responsibility is to walk through that process with some individuals. And maybe if they have an enlightening moment and they say, hey, I've got more homework to do, then that's part of my job is to coach them through that to get them to that point where they can say, hey, I am at a starting point now.
What do you think makes a good entrepreneur?
Boy, that's a great question. It is.
I'm going to throw you under the bus. It's Monday.
No, I'm actually happy to hear that. Yeah, throw me under the bus. What makes a good entrepreneur is somebody that has a passion, a dream that they will pursue relentlessly, do whatever it takes, and be humble in the process and have laser focused attitude about what they're doing and have a mission and purpose. So it's interesting. A couple of years ago, I read an article in Inc. magazine and they were interviewing, I think like 30 or 40, get this, 30-year-olds that became wow. self-made millionaires by the time they hit 30 years old.
Wow.
What's interesting about that article,
Shane?
Where
did I go wrong?
I know. I was thinking the same thing. You know, dang kids. No, but I'm happy for them. And what's interesting about that article is that it covered the entire spectrum of what their passion was, whether it's green energy, animals, starting a hedge fund, you know, whatever they wanted to do. And the success stories were amazing. But there was one common denominator that every single one of them had in common with each other, and that is to work in a sense of urgency. So if you're an entrepreneur, the only thing that, you know, 8 to 5 means is that it's 2 digits on the clock. You have to be able to infuse your passion into your DNA in every aspect of your life and discover that connection between that life-work balance. But it has to be part of you. And if somebody out there has that in them, and they've been thinking about what to do, or maybe they're too busy with, you know, a family or whatever, and they don't know where to start, that's where we come in. Just call us up. Let's sit down and talk through it, and we'll give great advice on what they should do to start a business.
Well, how should people get in contact with you?
They can call the Chamber of Commerce. Just call the office. And then our website is joplincc.com. And you know, I'm available. If I'm in a meeting or if somebody gets a hold of me, they can, you know, I'll get back to them. And you know, it never hurts. I mean, if somebody has a burning desire and a dream to start a business, it is at least worth their time to take that first step just to come in and have a conversation. And the deal is, you know, it's not like I'm wanting to get, you know, the office space all filled up. If I feel like somebody is not ready to start a business after we sit down with them and look at their idea, their business plan, et cetera, then I'm going to be brutally honest about that because we don't want anybody to fail in business.
Right. So, again, we're going to be talking with Doug, the Director of Entrepreneurship. I went for it 3 times.
Good for you. Yay!
Look at that. I might get my tongue working together this morning. But anyway, we're going to be talking more with Doug Hunt here in just a few moments on Four States Live. Stay with us. And welcome back to Four States Live. Poor Dad can't figure out the headphones.
Hey, I can pronounce entrepreneurship, though.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you can, too. You've done it three times. I'm proud of you.
Entrepreneurship. Four. I've done it four times now.
Yay.
But Doug Hunt is back with us this morning with the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce. We've been talking about, I mean, obviously, as your title dictates, you work with those startups, those people looking to get into a business on their own. And you've got a couple of different facilities to help people get going. And we were talking about the Joseph Newman Innovation Center, but talk about the one that's just to the east of you guys.
Right. That came about due to some hard work and effort by the Chamber staff and the Chamber Foundation, securing a federal grant that kind of helped us out after the tornado. And that facility is amazing in and of itself, not only because it
has a ginormous kitchen.
It does. And that's a story in and of itself. That is a shared kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can, you know, entrepreneurs that say, hey, I want to start a food truck, or hey, I want to, you know, I've gone to culinary school and I know I've got great skills, but I don't have $250,000 or more to start a restaurant. Those individuals can become part of our ecosystem and become a tenant there, share the kitchen, and produce whatever they need to produce and sell it wherever they need to. And that's been successful.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just one piece of the success story of the ATTC Center, Advanced Technology and Training Center.
I knew it had a name.
I know it did. And it's not like an acronym that you can go back to. It's just letters. But nonetheless, lots of success there. We've got several businesses. One business in there is like growing in a huge way with a national market, and they're a startup. So the fact that they're doing so successful tells us that the system is working, and they will eventually graduate out. And that's the concept behind an incubator, is help a business get up and running so that then they can step out and be more, you know,
leave the nest
is right. Thank you. I was trying to be politically correct. They leave the nest, but now that they're doing great, you know, beyond that 3 years, then they can build a building or, you know, rent at market rates and so forth. And those businesses that grow and get to that point, it's a multifaceted positive approach to economic development. So now we've got people that are building as they grow their business. They're hiring people, or maybe they're leasing facilities that would otherwise be empty. And maybe 4 or 5 years prior to that, they were just sitting around the kitchen table thinking, hey, can I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And there they are.
What's it like for you in your position to see those businesses leave the nest?
I'm not sure I can put it into words because, you know, I've been an entrepreneur myself for years. And when I started Sunrise Media Group back in 1997, I was terrified. I remember signing the lease with Nick Kanakis for an office space on Main Street, and my hand was shaking. And I was scared, and I launched that business by having three people on a payroll. And, you know, I sacrificed, gave up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, we struggled for like the first two and a half years. And by the time we got to the third year, I felt like I could take a deep breath and say, we're going to make it. But that was not having any of the resources
right.
that are available now. So in my position, how it makes me feel, you know, 17 years owning a marketing PR firm, you pour yourself into your clients and their passion and their businesses, and you help them grow. And we had great success stories that our team all worked on. But now that I'm in this position, it's a beautiful thing because, for one, I don't have to feel like I've got to leverage what I'm giving, you know, by charging for it. And secondly, I've never had this freshman senior mentality where somebody makes it and they say, well, you just figure it out on your own. You know, our job down here is to help each other. And I take that pretty seriously. So if somebody has an idea or a dream for starting a business and it's a viable option and something that can work, then we're going to pour all of our resources into them and coach them and guide them. And it's not just about getting them in the incubators. It's about coaching them, showing them how to communicate, how they need to write their contracts, how do they need to operate off their business plan and treat it like a living document, how to make sure that their books are clean and in order, it's the whole gamut.
You brought up the word viable. Is it a gut feeling for you when somebody comes to you with an idea saying, hey, I want to start my own business? I mean, you brought up having the passion and the drive and willing to do whatever it takes. But is there something about an idea that comes to you when they bring it to you that says, we got to make this work no matter what?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The simple answer is just yes. And maybe they don't have some tangible pieces that need to come together to make that happen. You know, when I've taught seminars in the past about being efficient in business and so forth, I'm a big believer in what's called the triangle of success. So if you envision a triangle, you got 3 points. And on those points are belief, action, success. So if somebody will just jump in, if they don't have the belief yet, but they take action, they have success. Maybe they have belief, but they don't take action. You know, there's a lot of people that have a good idea, but they're in ready aim mode constantly. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you don't take measurable action on your business, somebody else will get that market share and you won't be successful. And back to that previous question about what makes a good entrepreneur, that's probably one of the biggest pieces of it. You have to own it within your DNA and fight for it.
Go for it.
Yes.
At what point, how do you change someone's mind who might be on the fence, like on inaction or not having the belief? Like, how do you kick him in the pants and get him to go?
You can't.
Okay.
That has to come from within. And that's where it's kind of a gut check. Mm-hmm. That if somebody says, hey, I want to do this, I think it'll be great, but they haven't done what they need to do and they're not that serious about it, I will tell them that. In fact, when I had my marketing company, I had a group come in to me one time and they wanted to start a particular type business. And I'll be vague because, you know, I don't want to shame anybody. But they met with me and they were ready to sign a contract. Like, they had their business checkbook out. Mm-hmm. And after our conversation, like I told everybody, is that we may not be a good fit for each other. Let's discover that, you know, collectively together. And by the time we got to the end of the conversation, it was clear to me that they did not need to be starting their business until they did a few things. And I said that to them, and they got angry because who refuses a check when they're ready to sign a contract? But I've never been in the business of just taking somebody's money to make them fail, because who does that reflect on?
Right, right. It reflects on you.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of that meeting, I showed them why I was feeling that way and what they needed to do. And they went back and huddled with each other and ultimately decided not to do that, start that business. And honestly, I was doing them a favor, because entrepreneurs have got to have an open heart and be willing to learn. You've got to be able to be coachable. You've got to work on yourself constantly. You have to look at business practices, systems, and processes and put all of those things in play. It's not just about you creating a widget and, oh, I'm my own boss. That's the myth. Because if you're an entrepreneur and you own your own business, I guarantee you, the bank, your spouse, you got bosses. Mm-hmm. Your clients are your bosses.
Right.
And so dispelling some of those myths that people think.
This isn't the shark.
No.
Or whatever that show is.
Shark Tank,
thank you.
Yeah.
I don't watch TV much.
No, and I've gotten away from that too.
But so I think a lot of people think of starting a business is like that. But those people have put in a lot of time and effort on their own. So.
Right, right. Now, let's look at that in reverse. And that is 3 years, after I was 3 years into my business back in 2000, I was at dinner with a grade school friend of mine who's still one of my best friends. And a gentleman came up and said, hey, how's it going? I haven't seen him in years. And he said, hey, I want to congratulate you on starting your business and being where you're at right now. I said, well, thank you very much. And he looked at me in the tone, the look in his face just kind of went a little forlorn. And he said, I always wanted to start my business, but I was too afraid to do it. And it was like an awkward moment. Uh-huh. And he slapped me on the back and he goes, well, you have a good time, or, you know, good seeing you, Doug, that kind of thing. And that stuck with me. I mean, that really stuck with me, because what I love about what we're doing with the incubation centers, both of them, is that an individual like that, if they are in a state of fear, if they can just find it within themselves, if they have the passion to run their business, to just come in and talk. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk through those things. But for somebody to be polarized by fear and not take action, they won't have success.
And they might have a better chance of success if they have the resources available versus like what you had in the mid-90s.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I signed that lease way back in the beginning, and I went to Target and bought a $39 folding table and four folding chairs, and we went in there, and the office space was empty, but by golly, we had an address mm-hmm. and a passion and a desire. I was all excited, and the next month, I got my electric bill, and it was $803.
Ooh. Ouch.
So I dealt with it, and it hurt, and it was stinging, just exactly like your reaction. And that's the very thing that is taken out of the equation for people that are wanting to start a new business that get plugged into our ecosystem that we're building here, because they can budget accordingly.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking more with Doug Hunt again with the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce here in just a few moments on Four States Live. We're rolling up on 837.
People get second chances in business. You know, we don't have debtor prisons. And, you know, if people will learn from their mistakes or poor decisions, then, you know, you can have a second chance. But you have to hone in on those skills that you have and focus them where you need to.
But in order to get that second chance, you got to take the first chance. And that's where the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce comes into play. You've got two incubator systems, facilities set up. You've got some exciting news regarding the Joseph Newman Innovation Center. The fact that it's not just going to be, you know, a couple of different office spaces. People can just come there and land as one or two people, right?
Yeah, and let me walk you through that scenario. And we anticipate having the new co-working spaces up and running within 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, hopefully sooner. And one of them is going to be dedicated for professional women, because women in business have, you know, their own dynamics, and sometimes there's a lot of collaborative efforts or their demographic that they're going after. So the idea is to have an environment where people can have synergy among themselves and mentor one another. And then the other one is a general co-working space. So a scenario would be somebody, you know, they grab their laptop, they're ready to start the day, and they come in, they've got their security code. If they're after hours, 8 to 5, the door's open, they can come in. If they're going for an open seat that's available wherever, it's like going into a room and say, hey, there's an open seat, sit down there. Then we've got all the connectivity for them, everything they need to just sit down with their laptop. If they want a designated workstation that's just to them, then that's $250 a month. If they want just a place that's open, that's $150 a month. And that includes your chamber membership. So they can come in, they can use it however they want, come and go. Let's say they have a prospect they want to meet with and they want more of a private setting rather than a coffee shop. Then if they're part of our system and they can simply just schedule a conference room, the conference room on the first floor or the second floor, and have their client come in or prospect, and they meet with them in the client in the conference room, and then after that they may be gone for the day. So we're making it as flexible as possible for anybody wanting to start their business.
How important is it to have those more professional type spaces for people to get started up in versus, like you said, meeting in a coffee shop?
It's critical. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the data across the country, like I said earlier, you know, in the last 3 years, 80% of the brand new jobs that have been created are from startups. Mm-hmm. Just think about that number for a minute. So, yes, we can celebrate, you know, the big hits, and we're working diligently and we'll never give that up. I mean, you know, economic development efforts over the last 20, 30 years in this area have been enormously successful. It's exactly why we have the Joplin Webb City Industrial Park. And those are fantastic. But we're moving toward a mobile society. So part of what we're doing is having this ecosystem and the incubators, but also moving in the direction of promoting our areas, low cost of living, you know, great resources, centrally located. So just imagine, if you will, yes, we have a big manufacturing plant that moves in and creates jobs, but also what if we are able to get, say, 50 people from all over the country because they're mobile and they decide they want to be able to afford a nicer home with mm-hmm. less money because it's, you know, the cost of living's right. so much lower. Then let's say that they move, they live for or work for a major corporation and they're making six figures a year, and we have 50 of those people move into our area. That is going to have a powerful economic impact on our area. And it's happening all over the country.
And I know a lot of these people have got to be on the younger side too. You mentioned earlier, you know, reading an article about these people being self-made millionaires before the age of 30. How important is it to get these younger folks up and running? And because they are the future of our, they're the future, period. Like, we're not going to be around forever.
It's critically important. But, you know, from my perspective, and yes, I agree with you, there are a lot of younger people that are wanting to start their businesses, but there are countless stories of success of people starting their business at any age. I mean, seriously, when you have the entrepreneurial spirit, or when that entrepreneurial spirit hatches inside of you and becomes alive, it doesn't matter if you're 18 or 98. If you've got a great idea and a dream, pursue it, because your chronological age doesn't mean anything.
And I think sometimes it takes what you're doing currently for a career in order to kind of give you a swift kick in the pants to move you along.
Right. And that's exactly right. Sometimes people are forced into entrepreneurship. And then later, I have yet to meet somebody in my career that was forced into owning a business. Maybe they were downsized or they lost their job and they've got a great skill set and they think, you know what, I'm just going to go out on my own. None of those individuals that became entrepreneurs by that way ever have told me that they regretted it. Mm-hmm. So when you have that level of freedom, probably the best way I can explain it is it's like discovering a set of wings that mm-hmm. you never knew you had, or that moment in the movie The Wizard of Oz where everything turns into color.
Oh, yes.
It's, and don't get me wrong, it's not all roses. There are times when you're going to be terrified. I can tell you there were times when I was, you know, wide awake at 3:15 in the morning with tears running down the side of my cheeks, and I didn't know how I was going to meet payroll, you know, and in 2 days, because I had a client that owed me money, and they're like, well, we'll probably get you paid next week. It's like, well, next week's on the other side of my payroll.
Right.
Those are the types of things that is the mind-boggling slugfest. And to be brutally honest, if you go to a networking event and everybody says, how's business? Everybody's got their happy face on and says, we're doing great, but it could be better. And that's the beauty of having an incubator, because those individuals that are struggling with some of those things, they can kind of let their hair down and say, hey, man, here's what I'm struggling with, or here's what I'm struggling with, which leads me to another point. We're about ready to launch a program called 1 Million Cups.
You're going to have to hold on to that, because we got to take a commercial break.
And in the business.
You never know who might stop by, but it's going to be fun and informative. Welcome back to Four States Live.
And welcome back. It is 8:54 your time on this Monday, November the 2nd. Doug Hunt back with us this morning, Director of Entrepreneurship. What is that, five?
That's a five.
That's five times I've been able to spit out a six-syllable word this hour. So
yes.
Congratulations to me. But going into the break, you kind of alluded to something called 1 Million Cups.
Yes.
What is that?
Well, it's a program from the Kauffman Foundation. And basically what it is a weekly meeting where new startups and you know, younger businesses can come in and present a situation they're facing or a challenge that they have. And everybody from the community is invited in, business community, and they listen and then offer their advice. So it's a way for businesses to help new established businesses to help new businesses. And there are several chapters across the country. And the chamber, prior to my arrival, they had already had the program up and ready to launch, but that was in March. And we all know what happened in March 2020. So it's been on hold, but the plan is in place. And as soon as we are in a position where we can launch that, we will do it quickly. And that will be a huge successful thing. You know, one thing we've been talking about is like entrepreneurs and if they want to start their business. Another part of my position and what the chamber is moving toward is reaching out into the high schools and start educating and reaching out to kids that may say, hey, maybe running a business is good for me. So we'll be looking at things like Business Week. I know down at Neosho, they've got the CAPS program, which is exposing kids to entrepreneurship. And it's no different than like, you know, Pee Wee football, you know.
Right.
I mean, you start watching those kids at a young age and you just grow with them until the point where it's time to be, you know, playing high school football and possibly get a scholarship. We want to do that as well. We want kids to realize, students to realize that there's opportunities out there, and becoming a business owner is one of those as well.
And the thing of it is, especially I think now, thank you 2020, but I think having your own business, so many people are kind of being pushed towards that direction. Now's the time to chase your dreams. Now's the time to follow those dreams.
It is. It is. And one of the renovations we made at the NIC, the Newman Innovation Center, is you walk in the front door and it says, work hard, dream big. It's big, bold letters. And that's true.
So how can people get in contact with you if they're interested in taking part in one of the incubation centers? Because you've got two right there, east and west of the Joplin Chamber of Commerce building.
Yeah, and it's really becoming like an entrepreneurial campus.
Yes.
We use the term ecosystem, and we've got ideas and plans to expand that. But there are some great resources, just like the Small Business Development Center out at Missouri Southern. We work very closely with them, and they are a great resource as well. So they can call us at 417-624-4150, and then they can find us online at joplincc.com.
And, of course, always check out the Facebook page as well, because you guys have a lot of stuff going on. And the chamber is a great way, even if you already have your own business and established and you aren't a member of the chamber is a great way to get connected with other businesses and to be able to share those great connections and problem-solving skills.
It's visibility is credibility. And so even in my old days of having my marketing firm, the first thing I asked somebody is, are you a member of your local chamber? And if they said no, I said, you do that first, then come back and talk to me.
Mm-hmm. So that's the way to get things started. Again, Doug Hunt with us this morning. If people are interested in creating their own business, number one, think of the triangle. What are those three points of the triangle? What did you say?
Belief, action, results.
You've got to, you kind of got to hit all three. You can't just like stand in one corner, right?
Right. And as long as you step into it, the other two will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And if you're interested, I encourage you to talk to Doug, because he's going to be brutally honest with you. Because you're looking for good ideas, but you're also looking for the people that have the drive. And because that's what, half of it is having the drive to make it happen.
More than half, you're right. It is. Mm-hmm. Passion goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. So definitely get in touch with Doug, and I appreciate you coming on this morning. Again, I've got you linked up on my fan page. I've tagged you guys, the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce. So look me up on Facebook, Shannon Bruffett, AMI Radio Group. And if you'd like to be on the show, hit me up with an email, fourstates@kkowradio.com. And we've got coming up on Tuesday on Four States Live, Heartland Behavioral Health Services will be here. That's going to be Allison Harder. She's going to be talking about the importance of mental health care in our rural communities. So we've got more coming up here tomorrow. Everybody, make it a great day. Enjoy the sunshine. Join us back here tomorrow morning.